So when my we have a biological daughter, and when she was about when she was born, we first thought, forget it, one is plenty. This is really hard. And then when she was about two, we started to think maybe we could have a second. And at that point, we didn't feel a need to reproduce again biologically. And so we thought, well, you know, what can we do? We started to investigate the adoption, world of adoption. And it's been 3 years, so it's been a very huge learning process. And about, I want to say something about, because our issue wasn't infertility, and that's something, too, that I think the people that I've met who are adopting Asian children, I'm not sure, Astrid might know more, but it seems like a high percentage have run into infertility. And so they have to process that psychologically and really mourn that and then start thinking about what adoption means, how to help the adopted child develop identity, and then add race to that if they're internationally adopting. I'm sort of getting confused with where I'm going with this, except that in terms of foster care, it wasn't a question of infertility, we didn't quite feel comfortable with doing an adoption where we were competing with other parents and a birth mother was choosing us. We wanted to raise a child that potentially might not otherwise have a family. Mm-hmm. But when we looked into the foster care system, the children that are already eligible for adoption, i.e. the parental rights have been terminated, it's extremely unusual to find a child under five. And at that point, our daughter, Rowan, was about three. And we didn't want to usurp sibling order. And if they're under five, they tend to have either serious special needs and or siblings that the state wants to have accompany, understandably. So it seems like there's also foster adopt. But when we looked into foster adopt, you get trained to be a foster parent, and then you say, we would prefer a younger child. But the child's parental rights haven't been terminated. So there's a chance, and I know people who have fostered a child from the, like, 6 months to 2 years. I know a family that fostered a child 6 months to 2 years, and then the parents earned their rights back, and the child was taken away. And you have to be able to handle that. And I didn't feel like that was fair to my biological daughter, and I didn't think I was ready for that. And maybe after we raised these two daughters, our biological and the one we're adopted, I could imagine down the line doing foster care and adoption when I'm older and they're older. But it's a bit, you know, all of it is huge, and you have to think seriously about what your capacity is and what your limits are. And then the other thing I wanted to say about race, I think it's sadly probably true that a lot of adoptive parents think of Asian children as more white in some way. But here in Portland, it's so fantastic because, for example, one of the reasons why we look to China is there's this huge families with children from China here, and we understood that we could have this support network and that our daughter would have this support network where she saw families that looked like hers that had Chinese American children and Caucasian parents, and she also, there's a Mandarin immersion program here, mm-hmm. and that she would be able to meet, because I completely understand that there's certain things as a Caucasian person in our society I'm not going to understand, as no matter how many, you know, memoirs by adult adoptees I read, no matter how much I think about it, there might be some things that I don't quite get. And so the Mandarin immersion program is great, not just for the language, but because right now about 70% of the kids in the program are adoptees from China. So she'll have these friends who are going through the same thing that she can turn to, which also affected why China rather than, say, an African-American child, in terms of there's just this support network that's growing for children from China that's not there for children from other countries right now. Mm-hmm. So that's all. And anything that Astrid wants to say about advice or any kind of comments, I'd be happy to hear.
Well, thanks for your call. It seems like there were a lot of questions in that, and I know we only have a few more minutes left, but I think that your comment on motive and why adoptive parents adopt is extremely important for adoptive parents to have an answer to, right or wrong, if you know, whether whatever it is, but that they are prepared and that they think about that, and that adopted children want to know why they're living in the home that they're living with.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that you're on the right track by definitely thinking about with your partner and thinking about with your family, why is it that we're doing this? Why is it that we're going overseas? Why is it all of those questions? Your issue on infertility was, yes, infertility is definitely a, one of those issues that causes families to adopt. And as far as I think that you had said something, you had made a comment about that families who go through infertility have to go through perhaps a more emotional process. I would say it's a different process, not more or less. I think that infertility is, it needs, those issues need to be worked out and dealt with, and that you're, when you adopt, you're not replacing that child that, that you wish you had been able to have, if you were, if you had been able to have your own birth child. In my situation, my parents had tried for many, many years to have their own children. And when they finally gave up on infertility treatment, they decided to adopt, and they wanted to have two children. So they decided to adopt a sibling group. And infertility was never a discussion that we were ever allowed to have, yet it was the reason, the very reason that we were living in the home that we were. So that was a kind of a contradictory in itself.
And what do you imagine your parents could have? I mean, luckily that's not my situation. I feel very lucky that I get to have children in two different ways, and that and I'm learning so much by the two different ways, and that I get to. And I feel also feel very lucky that I get to say, no, it wasn't that, and you know, we wanted you. And what could your parents have said though to explain their motivation without? Because of course they were concerned that that would hurt your feelings, right?
Sure. Well, possibly. I guess I don't know because I haven't had that discussion yet. but no, I think that it's really fear-based, and so you're dealing with something that a family hasn't, a couple or an individual hasn't dealt with on their own terms, and so they're not at this place of being able to talk about it with their children. I think just that if we wanted to talk about it, that we had heard the word infertility, we had known that it was an open discussion in our family if we wanted or needed to talk about it. And that, along with race, to kind of bring this back, I think that that is one of the biggest things that you can give your child, is to let them know that race is a big deal. It's an issue. It's something that is in, that you're going to create a comfortable place for your child to be able to talk to them, for them to talk to you about. However, also acknowledge and know that your child will not always come to you. In fact, a lot of times they won't come to you because you're not going to have experienced that. So finding mentors for your children, other adult adoptees who want and are willing to be with your children and help them explore those issues.
Yeah, and we just have a couple more minutes, but I'm wondering, Astrid, if you could give the contact information for the organization that you work with.
Yes, it's Adoption.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. It's www.adoptionmosaic.org, and you can find my personal contact information on there, and Tara and I both are accessible through the info www.adoptionmosaic.org. Okay. Thanks.
Great. In the couple minutes that we have left, final thoughts that any of you might have?
Well, I just wanted to bring up one thing that I've had a couple of opportunities to do some of the Holt parent, what they call PIP classes. I think it's Parents in Preparation or something like that. Basically for parents who are in the adoption process or planning to adopt, and it's kind of like, a crash course in cultural competency and raising a child ethnically different from your own and just adoption in general. But one thing that I've, really stood firm in trying to point out to the parents is, and the last caller kind of brought that to head as well, is the matter of choice, that people are choosing people more. It's obvious by the numbers, people are choosing more children from Asia and then in lack of support. One of the components was lack of support for people adopting African-American kids or African children. So I think that really has to be really acknowledged and verbalized quite a bit more, that this is a choice, a choice and a privilege, and to kind of acknowledge the other end of that, where for the child it may be in the best interest. That's not what I'm saying, but it's also not a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just want to thank our panelists so much for being here and sharing your thoughts. I also want to mention there is an exhibit at the Wing Luke Museum up in Seattle, and that's on Asian and Pacific Islander adoptees, and that's running until September 4th. And that museum is open Tuesdays through Sundays, and might be worth checking out given our topic here. And now here's a piece from spoken word artist Bao Fi.
Born with two tongues, one the Mekong, Red River the other. Flowing fluid, I pushed soil and carried...